This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
To make that pledge early. KPFT Houston is doing this coming pledge drive a little bit differently, and your support today helps us get back to the programs you love. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support. Good morning. It's the New Capital Show. This is Jeff Berg. I'm sitting in for Leo Gold today. We're going to talk about politics, in particular Harris County, Houston politics. Things are getting very interesting here, and there are a lot of reasons for that. But more generally, the Republican Party has dominated Harris County politics for over a decade. They have dominated in the state of Texas for over a decade. We have no elected Democrats statewide or countywide here, and there have been a lot of reasons for that. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk to Dr. Richard Murray, professor of political science at the University of Houston, well-known political scientist. We'll get to him in just a minute. He's going to tell us what the lay of the land is right now, and whether it looks anything like Dallas County. Dallas County also was entirely Republican and had a huge sweep, Democratic sweep in 2006. We're going to talk about what the reasons were for that, whether people were tired of Republican rule in general, whether the same electorate kicked out the people they had voted in just a few years before, or whether demographic changes had something to do with that, whether Republican mismanagement or simple dissatisfaction had something to do with it. And I'm not presuming, of course, that Republican mismanagement took place. We will also be talking later in the show to Garnett Coleman, Democratic representative from here in Houston, and Kurt Kenning, former executive director of the Republican Party. We'll get to them after we talk to Dr. Murray. If you go online, if you look in the newspapers, you will see a buzz, and I don't think even the Republican who will join us later will dispute that there is a general sense that the Democrats are poised for a takeover here in Harris County. It's probably not the case statewide, although The Nation magazine ran a piece, a pretty long piece, pretty detailed piece, describing Texas Democrats' new optimism and the thought that Texas may turn blue. Howard Dean, chairman of the Democratic National Committee, has said that he thinks Texas is ready to turn blue. I'm not so sure. I'm not convinced. This is a pretty red state, and I don't know if we're there yet. I don't know if the Democratic Party is poised to take over the state of Texas, but things certainly do look different here in Harris County. They look, to a lot of people, they look a lot like Dallas County did in 2006. And in that election, Democrats completely swept the Republicans out. It was a complete shutout, and I think to a lot of people's great surprise. And we'll talk about the reasons for that and whether Harris County now looks in 2008 the way that Dallas County did in 2006. Again, there are no elected countywide Democrats here in Harris County. There are no Democratic judges here, county commissioner, county judges. They're all Republicans. And there are probably a number of reasons for that, not the least of which, by the way, is that Harris County has been a solidly Republican county. Demographics here are changing, though, and that part is that fact is really undeniable. And there's a front page story in the Houston Chronicle today talking about demographic changes in Harris County. Harris County is now almost 4 million residents, 63% of which are now Hispanic, or rather are minority. We are a minority-majority county, and, of course, the largest segment of that population is Hispanic. Hispanics were courted pretty heavily by Republicans, especially by George Bush, and he had a great deal of success among Hispanics in Texas. For a Republican, it was extraordinary. Democrats in Harris County, though, are solidly, Hispanics in Harris County are solidly Democratic. And we're going to talk about whether that is going to propel the Democrats into office, judges, others throughout the county in this November's election. a lot of it may have to do with the presidential election. Of course, presidential candidates affect candidates down ballot. Barack Obama is expected to motivate African Americans, Hispanics, and others to really get out to the polls and vote. Now, in every election in human history, candidates count on youth vote and new voters, and they are repeatedly disappointed. We'll talk about whether Dr. Murray and our other guests think that's going to be the case here. For now, let's welcome Dr. Richard Murray. He has taught at the University of Houston since 1966 and is currently the Bob Lanier Professor of Public Policy in the University of Houston Department of Political Science and Director of Surveying for the U of H Center for Public Policy. His academic interests are in Houston and Texas politics, focusing on campaigns and elections, political parties and interest groups, and public opinion. Dr. Murray, of course, can be seen regularly on Channel 13. Good morning, Dr. Murray.
Good morning.
Thank you for being with us. Well, generally speaking, what are the Democrats' chances in November in Harris County?
They're good. Every election, of course, can change with 90 days still to go, but most of the underlying factors are certainly working in favor of Democrats, but they do have to overcome the hurdle that in the last presidential election, their county candidates lost by about 6%. So Republicans, you could say, started with an advantage. The question is, do the Democratic factors here work to more than cancel that out and produce a sweep or a win of most of the county positions?
What's the polling that you're looking at telling you right now? The latest poll that I was able to find was from May. Harris County polling was from May, which was sort of mixed, fairly promising for Democrats, but also a little bit mixed. Harris County has been dependably Republican going back, I guess, 12 years, where the margins have been 8 points and more. Of course, in the last few elections, those margins have been closing. What are you seeing in the polling?
Actually, I've not seen any new polling in Harris County. We've had some state polls, but personally, I've not seen any public polling here. I'm sure some candidates are doing polling, but those are private and not for public consumption. We're looking more at generic factors. We know in this county, for example, Barack Obama did very well. While he lost the state to Hillary Clinton with a massive Democratic turnout, he beat her decisively in Harris County. And, of course, that's for the county-wide candidates, suggested Obama is the stronger Democratic nominee here at the top of the ticket because we have a much larger black population than the state as a whole. So that's one of the factors that almost certainly is going to benefit Democrats here in the election in November.
Is Barack Obama expected to have long coattails here in Harris County? I mean, as you point out, Harris County has a much larger African-American population than the rest of the state at large. What are you seeing in terms of new voter registration, youth vote, that type of thing here in Harris County? And what does it mean for the Democratic down-ballot candidates?
Well, the registration in the county was exactly the same in March 2008 as it was 4 years earlier in March 2004. But interestingly, it was about 40 or 50,000 less Anglo registration. And, of course, the difference was made up by more Hispanics and African Americans being registered. So we've still got some registration efforts going on. We'll watch those closely to see if the areas where new registrants pick up here as we approach the general election are more Democratic. But really reflects what you mentioned earlier, the demographic change in the county. There's no net Anglo growth in Harris County. We basically are just staying at about the same level. So all the population growth in our county is Hispanic, African American, or Asian. Of course, those groups are somewhat less reliably Republican, particularly blacks.
You wrote on your blog, which appears on KPRC's website, you had a post in July, why November could be tough for local Republicans. And Hispanic growth, I think, is one of the things that you talked about here. Talk a little bit about that. What is it about the growth in Latino voters that is it enough? Is it going to make up for that 40,000, 50,000 vote registration differential that you described. Is that enough? Is that something that could push Democrats over the top?
Probably not by itself. We think there will be maybe 40 or 50,000 more Hispanic voters this year than 4 years ago in 2004. But there's a significant minority of Hispanics who vote Republican, so Democrats don't get all of that added gain. But we also expect there'll be more Black voters and somewhat more participation among young Anglos, and that's the one group of white voters where the Democrats tend to do okay. So you have to put all of those factors together.
Sure, but as you point out, there aren't any new registered voters. I mean, this youth vote, and I say in every election, you know, if you're counting on youth vote to put you over the top, especially for a presidential candidate, you can forget it. And John Kerry, you know, President John Kerry counted pretty heavily on on youth voters to push him over the top. They were energized and enthusiastic about President Kerry. And you see where that got him. So, you know, if you're not seeing any new voters registered, is that really something that's going to materialize? Is that something that for the first time Democrats can really, and I don't want to say count on, but believe may happen?
Well, let's see who registers in the next 60 days. Well, they're still eligible to vote on November 4. The registration patterns are somewhat more favorable to Democrats than they were in 2004, not hugely, but the main deal, though, is not just who's registered, but who turns out to vote. And historically, Hispanic voters have been the least motivated to vote, and that's hurt Democrats up and down the ballot. So one of the local factors that's very important is Rick Noriega, the Democratic nominee for state Senate. He is, of course, a state representative from Harris County, and there are other significant Hispanic candidates, some running for judge. Of course, the Democratic nominee for sheriff is City Council member Adrian Garcia. So most of us think that Hispanic turnout won't be terrific, but will be pretty good, better than it was in 2004, because they've got candidates of interest. You know, that's one of the motivators that get folks out to the polls who are sort of marginal. Maybe they vote, maybe they don't.
Is that where the Barack Obama effect really has an impact on this race? Because, you know, a few years ago, the Democrats, of course, had the dream team, the dream ticket. Ron Kirk running for U.S. Senate and Tony Sanchez running for governor. And Democrats statewide, certainly in Harris County, hoped that that would bring out African Americans and Hispanics in huge numbers, would sweep the party to statewide victory. Now, statewide race obviously is much different than a local race here in Harris County, but were those numbers, were that election held today and those same numbers held true here in Harris County, those obviously Harris County Democrats didn't sweep to power. In fact, they were all defeated. So what's going to be different this time? Is it Barack Obama? Is it the inspiration of an African-American running for president?
Well, it's 6 years later. There are more Blacks in the county. There are more Hispanics. But if you just rerun that 2002 vote, even with the increased minority participation, Democrats would still lose. That dream ticket was a nightmare among Anglo voters. So to pick up the county, Democrats have to get a larger share of Anglo voters. They don't have to get anywhere near a majority, but they've got to get at least 35% of Anglos to win in the county. And so, you know, all votes count, but the largest number of voters in the county still by far are Anglos. And you can't afford to get shellacked the way the Democrats were in 2002 and have any hope of carrying the county.
And that really leads to another big question here, and that is that voter dissatisfaction with President Bush really almost statistically couldn't be any higher. I mean, he is wildly unpopular, and we'll ask our Republican guest later whether he still supports our brave leader. Is that type of dissatisfaction, does that count in Harris County? George Bush has always been very popular here, very popular in Texas, and popular here in Houston and Harris County. Are there Anglos, are there persuadable Anglos in Harris County who now count themselves among those dissatisfied and unhappy with President Bush?
Sure. I mean, Harris County is part of the United States. The general patterns we see with presidential...
I've wondered over the last 12 years, but...
presidential popularity. Word work here just as they do in the nation. Somewhat less. I mean, President Bush is somewhat more popular in Texas and in Harris County than he is in the nation as a whole. But somewhat is when his national approval rating is as low as 25%, still means he's not a positive factor. But more relevant, I think, for this election is right now there is a lack of enthusiasm for John McCain among local Republicans and conservatives. You know, he didn't do that well here in the March 4th primary. In many parts of our county, Mike Huckabee beat him. And Republicans have been slow to warm up to McCain. Now, what happens if this enthusiasm doesn't pick up is you're almost certainly going to see some drop in turnout in Republican areas, particularly areas where Huckabee did very well, like Deer Park, say. And that is a huge problem for all our countywide Republicans. They really need John McCain to pick up the pace, to pick a vice presidential nominee that will stir some enthusiasm and interest. Otherwise, they're all going to get swept out here because of lack of support and enthusiasm for the national ticket.
And that really leads to another question, and this is not directed at Republicans. I guess this could benefit Bob Barr, who's running as a Libertarian, or Ralph Nader, who's running on, I guess, the Nader ticket, the perpetual Nader ticket. And this is the opposite. This is the flip side of the lack of enthusiasm for John McCain. What about unhappiness or fear at the prospect of a Barack Obama presidency based on, oh, I don't know, any old thing? Could that cause a segment, a significant segment of Anglo voters to motivate and turn out and vote for another candidate, other candidates, and that could that benefit the Republicans?
There will likely be some attrition of normally Democratic voters away from Obama because of his race or his youth or inexperience in public life. And we saw that most profoundly in the primaries with how terribly he did in Appalachia and all the counties running down from Pennsylvania all the way to Alabama that were in the mountainous region. He just got really waxed by Hillary Clinton. But Harris County is not part of Appalachia. We don't have the kinds of voters that really seem to have trouble with Obama. That is, older whites with not much educational experience. And Harris County is a relatively young county, has now a pretty small proportion of working-class whites. We're heavily minority, and the whites who are in the county are relatively affluent, and they're younger than whites are in other areas. So some of those national factors that put the presidential race in real doubt don't work very well in Harris County. And we have a lot more blacks than the nation or the state. And, of course, Obama just does gangbusters with black voters.
Dr. Murray, let me spend the time that we have remaining. I want to talk about some specific races, and just off the top of your head, I don't want to put you on the spot, but these are just some prominent local races, and just get your thoughts to the extent that you have any on each of these. And the first is, as a lawyer, I have a particular interest in the local judicial races. As I said, there are no state judges here in Harris County that are Democrats. They're all Republicans. Democratic lawyers, anyway, are looking at what happened in Dallas County for inspiration, and are almost wetting themselves with excitement, thinking that we're going to have some Democratic judges down there. What do you think?
Well, I think it'll be similar to Dallas County in that they're all going to win or they're all going to lose. We didn't see much differential voting in these down ballot judge races, where frankly most people don't know any of these candidates, and their default position is they just vote by party. So the critical variable there is to watch the straight ticket vote. In the last presidential election, the Republicans got 370,000 straight ticket pulls, and the Democrats got 325,000. So every judicial Republican started with a 45,000 vote straight ticket advantage. And some Democrats narrowed that, like Kathy Stone, but there weren't nearly enough sort of ticket splitter voters to overcome the initial Republican advantage. So that's one of the factors why this lack of enthusiasm and disheartening of some Republicans about it makes them less likely to vote a straight ticket. And that's what judicial candidates need. They don't need so much people going down and cherry picking. We don't have too many of those voters left in Harris County. What you want to win in the judicial races is a straight ticket vote and give you a cushion for those voters who are picking and choosing among individual candidates.
Does that hold true? You know, a lot of these judicial races that voters in Harris County here in Houston will be voting on are appellate judges as well, whose districts include outlying counties, including Galveston, Wharton, Brazoria, these counties outside of Houston, and they're counting on a really significant cushion in Harris County to carry them in some of those more Republican and still Republican-leaning counties.
Right.
And to the extent that the Harris County slate of judicial candidates wins, it may or may not have an effect on these judicial candidates with districts that encompass other counties. What's your take on that, your quick take on that?
Well, the appellate judges are equally unknown to voters, so virtually all the voting there is going to be party voting. Now, if you look at the appellate districts, which I think include 12 other counties, the total district is a little more Republican than Harris County. So, like Jim Sharp narrowly won Harris County as a Democrat in 2006, but he lost by 20,000 votes outside Harris County and thus wasn't elected. So, Democrats have to run a little better in Harris County because they figure, you know, they're not going to do so well outside. So the margin of victory here in the appellate races is very important if the Democrats are going to pull this off. They do need some kind of cushion coming out of Harris County, but they also expect to do better in Fort Bend County. One of the stories that we don't pick up on too much is that suburban county is the fastest changing big county in the state as more Hispanics, Asians, and African Americans move in. It was a big county for Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And that will play importantly in the appellate races.
And it's got a significant African American population.
Yeah,
there
and they're in, very middle class, upward
right.
mobile, high turnout. Again, voted very strongly for Barack Obama.
A couple of congressional races that have gotten a lot of local and some national attention. The first, of course, is the Nick Lampson versus Pete Olson race. Nick Lampson, having taken over Tom DeLay's old district, the 22nd congressional district, it was a tough race for him to get in. And Pete Olson is a good candidate and a well-known figure there. What do you think on that race?
Well, normally we expect that to be a Republican district. Certainly it was when it was drawn by Tom DeLay in 2003. But again, it's changed demographically. And Lampson has run more tough congressional races than any Democrat candidate in the country. He's had a tough race every year since 1996. He's won five and lost one.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a good candidate, too. And he benefits by the changing makeup of Fort Bend County. He'll actually, I think, win in Fort Bend County. His vulnerability is more in the Harris County part of the district, where he's got areas like Deer Park that are not going to be supporting Barack Obama, and Democrats are probably going to suffer down ballot.
John Culberson, the Republican incumbent in the 7th Congressional District, faces a challenge from Michael Skelly.
Mm-hmm.
Skelly is, if nothing else, mounting an enthusiastic campaign. And he's really out there. He's raising money. He's shaking hands and ostensibly doing everything he needs to do. That is a very Republican district, as far as I can tell. What do you think about that one?
Well, yes, it is among the most Republican districts in the country. And John Culberson may be one of the few Republicans who could actually lose the district because he has alienated some normally Republican voters. Skelly is a well-funded, enthusiastic candidate. But clearly, for example, for president, John McCain is going to win in that district handily. So the Democratic candidate has to run a lot better than the kind of generic Democrats. But I think you've got some chance there, mainly because of Culberson's weakness with normally Republican voters. He's just not really cultivated them, and many of them look back nostalgically upon Bill Archer, who represented them for 30 years. And, you know, so there's just a personal unhappiness with Culberson that puts that district in play. It should not be. It should be a safe Republican district. It's just that some of the problems of the incumbent not effectively connecting with voters, it does put the race in play.
You know, I could a few years ago, I don't think I could have imagined myself asking this question, but Is John Culberson too conservative for West Houston?
Well, I don't think it's conservatism. I think it's personal style and manner that he just is not really going out of his way to connect with a lot of moderate Republicans and independents who usually vote Republican. And that gives John Skelly a chance in a normally very Republican district.
Just a few other races, and I just want to touch on them briefly. I appreciate the time that you have spent with us here on the New Capital Show, and we're going to get to our other guests in just a moment. Mike McCall, the Republican incumbent in the 10th Congressional District, that's that new district that stretches from Austin all the way to Harris County,
mm-hmm.
is facing Larry Joe Daugherty, the Democratic challenger, who also is running a terrific campaign. But can he win in that district?
Yeah, the 10th is less Republican, particularly because of the growth of the Austin end of the district. And Austin is the part of Texas that has most decisively swung against George Bush and Republicans. So you kind of get the offset. Harris County and the eastern part of the district is going to be Republican by some margin. And Travis County and the Travis County suburbs into Bastrop and other areas there are going to be Democratic. So it's a close district. It's kind of a barbell district. Daugherty's advantage is he's from the connector counties that link the two urban areas, and he might do pretty well in Colorado County and some of those counties that might tip the balance one way or the other. So I think a very close race could go either way.
One of the races that you've blogged about, and we're going to let you go here in just a minute, one of the races that you've blogged about has been the Chris Bell special election,
mm-hmm.
the Kyle Janik seat, recently vacated Texas Senate seat. What do you think? I mean, that's got to be a close election.
Well, it's a special election, and so things like straight ticket voting don't apply. All the candidates who file, and I guess filing closes in a day or two, run together on the same ballot. It's kind of like a primary, but they do list whether you're a Democrat or Republican. Chris Bell probably is going to be the only Democrat. I think three Republicans have indicated they're going to run, so they'll all split up the Republican vote, and Bell will be way, way ahead. The issue is, does he get 50% and win the election November 4? He's going to lead. We know that, but margin of victory is important. But it's a district that demographically favors Bell, and Obama did very, very well in that district.
Okay. Dr. Murray, final question.
Mm-hmm.
Come November 5th, do we have a bunch of new Democratic judges in Harris County?
I think so. I think most of the judicial races will be won by Democrats.
All right. As we say in Texas, halavai, meaning from your lips to God's ears. All right. We're going to go to a break. And when we get back, thank you again, Dr. Murray. It's been very informative, and I really appreciate you getting up early where you are. Again, this is Jeff Berg sitting in for Leo Gold on the New Capital Show. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, Kurt Kenning from the Republican Party and Garnett Coleman, a Democrat here in Houston, will be with us. Welcome back to the New Capital Show. Jeff Berg sitting in for Leo Gold. We are going to try and take some calls here if we get to them. Number is 713-526-KPFT, 713-526-5738. Had a listener question wondering whether criminal court judges are elected or appointed. They're elected. All these judges down in Harris County, state judges, are elected. Federal judges are not, which is, of course, why elections matter, because federal judges are appointed by the president. So, with that, we are going to continue talking about elections, local and national, the effect of national elections of our presidential candidates, of the presidential candidates on our local elections. Harris County, previously a dependably Republican area, is seen by many, including Dr. Richard Murray, who just joined us, as trending Democratic, as Dallas County did in 2006. Joining us, Court Kenning, former executive director of the Harris County Republican Party. And before I get to anything else, this disclaimer, as should be evident from the first half of the show, I am a Democrat. I am active in Democratic Party politics in any way I can possibly be. And so with that disclaimer, I want to especially thank Court.
Everybody can atone for their mistakes.
We won't be doing any of that today. Unless you want to, of course.
I knew that was coming.
As the sole representative of the Republican Party in the room, Court joins us and has ventured here to KPFT knowing that. And so I especially want to thank you for coming down. And we'll try to be as fair as you deserve. So with that said, we want to turn also to Garnett Coleman, well-known local Democrat, state representative, District 147, longtime Democratic Party activist. Welcome.
It's great to be here.
Well, you heard the conversation with Dr. Murray, and I see Garnett is smiling broadly, happily, happy, very pleased, and Court is nearly suicidal.
At
hearing.
It's a good thing this is not TV.
What Dr. it is, because we can't have that kind of thing on the air. Court, my friend, are you ready for your long walk in the wilderness?
People keep saying that it's, or at least on this station, that say we're going to have problems. I don't see that. One thing I wanted to touch on, you'd said earlier that, you know, we've had this long march of Republican rule. That's really not accurate. What we've had is we've had a long march of voter rule, and voters have decided that they want Republicans in charge. And that's the way it's been for a number of years in the states, the way it's been for a number of years in Harris County. If that changes, I doubt it will, but if that changes, that's the voters' decision.
No doubt. All credit goes to a Court for going out on a limb and supporting democracy. However, the Republicans have been in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And my real question to you all, getting aside, I'm teasing you a
sure.
little bit. All kidding aside, do you think, what's your process? I mean, what's your outlook here? I mean, you're the former executive director of
sure.
the Harris County Republican Party. You are active in Republican
Absolutely.
Party politics. What's your sense of where the party is headed here in Harris County? Is there real concern in the party, in the local party?
Sure. I think we have our work cut out for us. We're on a number of factors, demographics, voter enthusiasm on both sides of the ticket, those kind of things like that. Significant, no doubt about it. Do I think that we're going to get washed out? No, I don't. Dick Murray does a great job, but he's a weather forecaster, and oftentimes you get it wrong. This Ed Ward was going to be, you know, a bad hurricane, and all it ended up being was a mild thunderstorm in a lot of places. You know, weathermen get it wrong, and Dick sometimes gets it wrong too. And while I think he's got some significant numbers to look at, and he's doing his job, his polling data that he has goes back to the primary time. Polling data that I'm looking at is more recent, and I think we're in a good position. I think what you have is Democrats don't have any new ideas. It's the same old thing, just a different package. And we'll see how this turns out. I'm not concerned. I think there's a potential we may lose a judge or two. Is it going to be Dallas County? Absolutely not. Dallas County and Harris County are two totally different areas.
Okay, and we're going to get to Garnett here in 1 second. He's not nodding in agreement, so I don't want to mislead the audience in any way. He is wound up and ready to respond. Court, I want to ask you, though, you heard Dr. Murray say that there really isn't much polling except for whatever internal polling various candidates are doing, and I assume the party is doing. You said that the polling you're looking at is not as discouraging to Republicans as what one may be led to believe. So what are you looking at? Tell me about the polls you've got.
Well, you've got to look at, we got to get away from the presidential stuff. While a driver of this election, you can't look at presidential polling for what we're talking about here, and that's local races. So you got to look at polling of, say, the county judge. It's some of the individual districts that you know how they perform in presidential election years. And you compare that with the way it's looking now. You look at different factors in that. You still see Ed Emmett, the county judge, with a comfortable margin against his Democrat opponent that you would see in a normal presidential year.
Of course, Ed Emmett is running against a Democratic candidate, David Mintzberg.
Sure. Right. And the previous county judge, always had a Democrat opponent as well. And we see a comfortable margin there. Now, granted, it's not as large as a margin as it would be in an unknown, unfunded candidate. Mintzberg is going to have some money, and he's got name ID, but he doesn't have the excitement that you would need to have in order to have a takeover. And that's, the middle to the bottom of the ballot that people are going to start looking at crossing over potentially as they're making their way down the ballot. And we're not seeing that at this time. Now, we're 90 days away from the election. It's an eternity in politics. Things could change. But right now, we don't see the cut-and-run kind of scenario that some are painting.
713-526-KPFT, 713-526-5738. At 10:36 on the New Capital Show, Jeff Berg sitting in for Leo Gold. We'll take some calls if we can get to them a little bit later. Garnett Coleman, court says that the voters of Harris County are fired up, enthusiastic about Ed Emmett. And not so happy about David Mintzberg and others. What's your outlook? Are the Democrats going to take over in Harris County?
Well, I think we have a real good opportunity. Clearly in 2000, when Gore was running for president, we had Eric Andel win the county when he was running for re-election to the appeals court. And you had other Democrats who got to 49% and 48% of the vote countywide, either running for judge or county treasurer. And that's when nothing, there was no Democratic campaign at all in Harris County, save a few Gore Lieberman signs in some yards. And that's direct in Bush territory. And what's important about that is that Gore only got about 40% of the vote in Harris County, whereas those individuals got to 48% and 49%. So that says a whole lot if you're talking about people voting the top of the ticket and whether or not the bottom of the ticket can actually outperform the top of the ticket. It clearly can. If you go back to Hubert Vaux's victory in the southwest part of town, he clearly outperformed John Kerry in that election and won over what's that guy's name? Talmadge Heflin.
Right.
So when we look at this, I think that there's a great opportunity for Democrats. One for in terms of demographics, but I think what's happened to Republicans is that they really are seen as a group, not in a way that isn't really good for them. I mean, people are kind of down on some things, like the sheriff, for example, having a few little problems connected to David Medina, connected to what was that guy's name? Who was the DA?
Rosenthal.
Chuck Rosenthal.
Sure,
that guy.
Sure.
And so I think that's a problem for them here in this county. And I think Professor Murray said it very clearly. When you look at the demographics, African-American vote is extremely important in terms of moving that number up. And enthusiasm being high in a group of African-American voters, black voters, will change the numbers. But I think the real detriment for Republicans is that independents and soft Republicans are questioning whether or not they did the right thing in putting Bush in as president.
Well, look, I got to ask you. I mean, Republicans swept away the Democrats years ago. And the question that a lot of swing voters, I imagine, are asking themselves, to the extent there even are swing voters in Harris County, Anglos and others, Hispanics who split sometimes.
Believe it or not, they're blacks. They're 10% black swing voters, too.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I look, everybody, every group has its set of misguided. There are misguided individuals in every group. I'm Jewish, and to my chagrin, there are plenty of us as well. But that aside, persuadable voters, swing voters, people who make a decision based on individual candidates or different decisions in each election. Can Democrats be trusted in Harris County? Can Democrats be trusted in Texas with tax policy, with judicial policy? All of the reasons that the Republicans may have swept out the Democrats before, why is it going to be any different this time? I mean, as Court points out, or as he says, Democrats offer nothing new. It's the same old stuff. I assume he meant tax and spend. I don't want a stereotype Republican argument, but is that... I mean, look, the Republicans came in for a reason. There were a lot of abuses when the Democrats were in power last time. And what is it that's different this time, and can swing voters this time trust the Democrats?
Well, pendulums do swing, and I think the pendulum has swung. I think Republicans have gotten fat in office in a whole bunch of different ways. Maybe we ought to get some obesity control here. But the reality is... they don't like it when someone in office cuts children off of health insurance. They do not like it when toll roads become the order of the day. They certainly don't like it, speaking of John Culberson, of $100 million a mile I-10 project between the Loop and, past the Beltway. They think that those are excesses. And you know, usually someone is brought down, or a group of people are brought down by their excesses. And clearly there's some dissatisfaction there. And that's on the state level. Clearly on the county level, it comes down to not performing. And if a DA does something wrong in their performance, or if a sheriff does something wrong in their performance, it does reflect on the rest of the folks. So I think that what has happened is the sins of a few are really spreading across the whole. Mm-hmm. But I think the legislature is one of the reasons why Republicans are viewed in a bad light, because of Tom Craddock and his excesses.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, more directly. How do you go to a voter, a white voter, say, in Harris County, in West Houston, and ask him to vote Democratic when the first question out of his mouth is whether Democrats are going to raise my taxes? Why should he pay more in taxes? Why should someone in the middle class...
First of all, I'd tell them we're not going to raise your taxes. I mean, the reality is that increases in taxes have been by necessity, particularly on the state level. On the county level, it's based on appraisals. So the reality is tax increases, particularly on the county level, were mostly done by Republicans because they've been in control. I wonder why Betancourt doesn't look at that. He ought to have something to say about that, since he is a county official. The point of the matter is that the last tax increase was done by Republicans in the state legislature, creating a small business tax that people hate, clearly a problem, creating a cigarette tax that disproportionately taxes individuals, as well as creating a used car tax, God forbid, a used car tax. So it just doesn't ring true anymore that this tax and spend liberal thing, particularly in Texas, where, quite frankly, all of us are cheap. We're just cheap. You know, we just don't believe in spending money unnecessarily. And all of our policies have always been frugal, because we come from a frugal line of people, regardless.
Well, all right. 713-526-KPFT. We've got a couple callers holding. We are going to get to them shortly. 713-526-5738. It is 10:43 on the New Capital Show. This is Jeff Berg sitting in for Leo Gold. And we are talking to Court Kenning. I called him Kurt earlier, and again, I apologize. I'll continue to regret that throughout the show. Court Kenning and Garnett Coleman, Republican and Democrat, respectively. Court, you heard the argument that Garnett makes about tax policy, about substantive reasons that people ought to elect Democrats and throw the Republicans out. And that really leads to the I don't know if this is the ultimate question. This is certainly a question. As we discussed earlier, Republicans have been in power for what seems to a lot of us like forever, but they have been in power for a long time. Are the people of Texas, are the people of Harris County better off now because of that long rule of Republicans?
Quickly, yes. But let me just go back to a couple of things that Garnett had said. Smart, obviously a smart guy. He's been in this business for a long time, and does good work for Democrats in the legislature, no doubt about it. But the cases that he talked about earlier were about individuals who have had problems. And you're going to have elected officials on both sides of the aisle who are going to make mistakes. Thomas Heflin made mistakes, and that's why Hubert Vaughn got elected. Rosenthal made mistakes. I'm pretty sure he's not going to be reelected. He's not on the ballot. Sure, President Bush has made mistakes, and I'm willing to bet here, I put my life on it, I don't think he's going to get reelected this year either. And you know, there have been mistakes, no doubt about it. There's mistakes on the Democrat side and mistakes on the Republican side. And the question becomes, the mistakes the Democrats made years ago is what swept Republicans into power. Are our mistakes the Republicans made this time around going to be the same effect that the Democrats had? That's a question that's yet to be answered.
Can Republicans win in Harris County, as the Houston Chronicle is reporting today on the front page, can Republicans win in a 63% minority county?
Minorities and individuals don't vote. Registered voters vote. And if you look at what was required to get a voter to go to the polls, it's not as easy as just saying, well, you got 63% minorities, and therefore Democrats are going to win. It doesn't work that way. You have some minorities that vote Republican. You have some minorities that stay at home. You have some whites that stay at home. Every group is not necessarily going to be excited about this election. So you can't break it down that way.
Is it safe to say the Republicans are hoping for low voter turnout in Harris County?
Low voter turnout? No, we're looking for higher voter turnout amongst our voters. I mean, I'm sure Garnett across the table is going to say, I sure hope all my voters come out, and I hope the Republicans don't. I mean, that's just the way that's the way you win elections.
I'll ask
Garnett. It's about numbers.
I would be willing to bet, though, that he would be happy with a general voter turnout of 80-90%. Would you be happy with that number?
Sure. It's not going to happen, but sure. But well, you got to go to the issue of why those people are not turning out.
They're not excited.
They're not excited about the options. They don't feel like they have any involvement in their government. They don't understand it. I mean, people I live around are highly educated, highly affluent people, and some of them aren't excited.
And you're a Republican?
And they don't feel like I am, obviously. I'm obviously very involved.
Wait, people you live around are affluent and well-educated, and you're a Republican?
Crazy, isn't
it? Where do they find you? How did that happen? All right, Stephen and John, we've got both of you holding. We're going to get to your calls here in a minute. Please continue to hold. Garnett, what do you think? I mean, in terms of voter turnout, I imagine that as a Democrat, you would be fine with not a select group of people turning out, but just whoever, as long as that number is large.
The higher the turnout, the better off we are.
As Democrats.
As Democrats, because that means people who generally do not vote, and we know that many Democrats have limited income or middle income and below, and sometimes aren't as enthusiastic. But I think that's changed. And I think that's changed because there's a change candidate at the top of the ticket.
Well, look, and I don't mean to interrupt, but as Court points out, these are voters who put these Republicans in office. This didn't happen.
Why didn't Tom DeLay trust the voters that were electing those Democrats in Republican congressional districts? I don't understand.
Garnett, come on. I mean,
were voters. I'm just trying to figure out
Garnett, when you guys were in control, y'all gerrymandered districts too. I mean, this is not something we just came up with.
Although not illegal, it wasn't in the middle of the decade.
Is that illegal?
No, I said, although it was not illegal, it wasn't in the middle of the decade.
Right. Yeah. But you have that option.
But I think that's one of the reasons why the Republicans, quite frankly, are in trouble. Because, as I said again, it has to do with excesses. And people, whether illegal or not, view that as excessive in terms of the use of power. And I believe that because of Tom DeLay, the tumble actually started in the Congress. So he reached for something, got it, but actually it became a Pyrrhic victory. What was supposed to create a permanent majority actually lost the majority for Republicans. And I think that's part of what has happened in this state, that people have looked at this and said, wait a minute, this isn't what I expected. I expected people to govern, not to rule. And that's the reason the voters are moving in a different direction.
Let me get in here. Court, I know you want to respond, but let me follow up on something here with Garnett. As Court points out, the voters put the Republicans in office. This was a Democratic process. Nobody took over illegally. And if I hear what you're saying is that the more people that turn out, the better, because if there's a larger voter turnout, Democrats are going to get elected. Isn't it then the fault of the Democratic Party for not turning out those voters in previous elections? And really, look, isn't it just whining to say, oh, we've been out of power for so long, and these Republicans this and these Republicans that? Look, we lost. Well, Democrats lost.
There's no doubt about it. There's absolutely no doubt about it, and a lot of those are internal problems. We defeated ourselves. I mean, clearly, it's not about just turning out voters. It's about persuading voters that their vote counts. Then, that your policies are the things that are going to do something to make their lives better. And quite frankly, if that's not the case, it doesn't matter the color of the skin of the person running. It doesn't. None of that matters. And I would argue with you that where we lost our way is by being the majority party, we got fat. And we thought that people just turned out because they were Democrats at the top of the ticket and they were going to vote Democratic.
All right, real.
And I think that was a problem.
All right, Garnett Coleman. Real quick, let's go to Court Kenning. Court, you wanted to say. Real quickly, we're going to get to some calls.
Well, I'm going to say a dirty little secret, and I hope nobody hears me. In elections, you target voters who have a propensity to vote. That's really what you do. If you know somebody who's a registered voter and has no voter history whatsoever, you're not going to spend a lot of time. You're not going to spend a lot of money on those voters. That's just a reality of it. The old saying goes, when you're a hunter, you go duck hunting where the ducks are. And that's how elections work.
All right. Stephen, line one, you've been holding the longest. Stephen, thanks for holding.
No problem. I just got a quick question. And by the way, I have to confess, I am a white male and have always voted Democratic and will continue to vote Democrat to the day I die.
Well, that's it. I'm hanging up on you.
No, but I do have a question. Does any of our panel ever foresee a year in which a Democratic candidate for Texas in the general election will actually put the Texas electoral votes into the Democratic cause?
Great question.
That has not happened since 1976, the year I was born, when Carter ran. And I just, you know, I've seen other southern states flip back and forth since that time. But, I mean, like, other southern states has potential to go Democratic, but Texas doesn't. And I'm just curious. And this
great question, Stephen.
Will that ever happen?
Thanks for your call, Stephen. Great question. Court, are Texas 32 electoral votes in play this year?
Not this year, but I will tell Stephen something that will make him happy. If Texas electoral votes go to a Democrat, the chances of Republicans winning the White House are pretty much eliminated.
Sure. Wouldn't that be like Democrats losing California or New York?
Sure. Absolutely.
And the key in the past couple elections have been Florida and Ohio, and I don't want to get too much into national politics, but the thought of Texas turning blue has been a pipe dream forever, since 1976, as Stephen points out. There was, as I said, an article in The Nation discussing the possibility of Texas turning blue. Howard Dean has said that he thinks Texas is ready to turn blue. Of course, you would expect him to say that probably about any state.
Right. You know, the Obama camp talks about the potential of Virginia going blue.
Well, that's real.
And they believe that if Virginia goes for the Democrats, then they'll win the electoral vote. And there's no way you can overcome that.
That's real. That's right. A real possibility. Garnett, real quick, because we don't have that much time left. You're a political professional in this state. Texas, when's it going blue?
I can't tell you when. I can tell you it will. And it will because of demographic changes, but also because of change in mindset about what's a better future. And I think that's what we're seeing. It's not. I don't know why people think it's a pipe dream. If you can elect a Democratic governor, You know, clearly you have the potential of voting for a nominee that, that happens to be Democratic and just turns state blue. The last time we lost, and it was a big loss, but in 98, it was two percentage points. It wasn't like it was 20.
Sure.
You know, in terms of knocking out Democrats. And since then, there just hasn't been an enthusiastic belief financially that you can win at the state level.
Sure, it's expensive to compete here. It's a challenge, and until you see some numbers really move before you start spending money, it's almost like a catch-22. It's going to be tough. Let's get
tell John O'Quinn that and Chris Bell.
Well,
you want some big checks for Chris.
You know what? A lot of our listeners, a lot of our party members have more faith than you Republicans give us credit for.
Not as much as Bob Perry. I have to give it to Bob Perry.
And I don't necessarily disagree. That's a discussion for another day, and a good discussion, by the way. Let's get to John, line three. John, you've been holding longest. Thank you for holding, John.
Oh, thank you. Jeff, you're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you.
Since my youth, I've been a conspiracy theorist. But the last presidential election, when I was given a choice of which Skull and Bonesman to vote for on a machine that doesn't have a verifiable paper trail, I've become a wild-eyed conspiracy theorist. And I was wondering, what can we do to bring accountability to our voting system? As far as I realize, it's being counted by the people who supply the software and the hardware for the voting machine.
John, good call. Good question. Thank you for your call. It actually does raise a question, and you know, you can go on the internet and find pretty much anything you want. One of the issues that I think John was talking about is Diebold, which is the company that makes electronic voting machines, and the question of a lack of a paper trail is something that Republicans and Democrats have been concerned about, whether there ought to be a paper trail that leads directly back to the voter and you can prove who voted for what. What's the if you know off the top of your head, Court, what's the, since the Republicans are in charge, what's the Republican view of electronic or paper voting and leaving a paper trail? Do you even know? I mean, it's sort of an obscure or odd question, but...
You don't get a paper trail when you vote by paper ballot. You stuff your paper ballot into a can, and you don't get to take that back.
I think we're trying to make a call. Are we maybe ordering pizza? All right. Let's get to Keith, line two. Keith.
Yes. Hi. I just turned on the radio, so I haven't heard the whole show. It sounds really great. Mike, I'd just like to say that. The media, KPFT News, for example, and the local stations, there's a great story. I mean, we need to take a serious look at Beverly Kaufman, the county clerk, and Paul Betancourt, the county tax assessor and collector, and how they're really kind of manipulating the voter registration process and the voting location process to make sure that the fewest number of people vote.
Okay.
I'm
going to have to disagree with the caller here.
Sure.
Because county commissioners actually set the voting locations in a number of cases.
Mm-hmm.
The county clerk goes to the commissioners and say, this is the locations we're looking at. It is extremely complex. Schools are less wanting to bring voting into their locations, things like that. And Paul Betancourt's knocking dead people off the voter rolls, which I think is a good thing.
Keith, I know you got more, but we got to wrap it up. I'm hearing the music. I'm sorry I didn't get to calls earlier. Thank you for your call. Ray, I'm sorry we won't be able to get to you this time. Thank you to all the guests, to Richard Murray, to Court Kenning, to Garnett Coleman. I appreciate it. Thank you to Leo Gold for allowing me to sit on the New Capital Show. NewCapitalShow.com. Laura Slavin, thank you very much, the engineer. Good morning.
Golf is a sport best played on a golf course with as many friends as possible.
Recognizing this simple fact, KPFT wants you and your friends to participate in the first annual Hot Air Open Golf Tournament. This is a KPFT benefit, and it will take place on September 21st, 1 p.m. at the Bear Creek Masters Course, a fine old course just located north of I-10 and along Highway 6. The Hot Air Open benefits a homegrown community radio station, KPFT, and golf carts, greens, and Dennis Walker design t-shirts along with the after party are provided for a single entry fee or whole sponsorship. Hosted by Cajun Bandstand's PT, Sandy from Dead Air, and your friend and mine, Larry Winters, the Spare Change is one fundraiser that promises to have a whole lot of fun and laughter. Entry to the Hot Air Open may be done via the web at hotairopen.org or at kpft.org. This is your friend and mine, Larry Winters, hoping to see you and yours out there on the golf course on the 21st of this year.
KPFT and the Center for the Healing of Racism invite you to join us on Tuesday, August 19th from 7 to 9 p.m. at St. Paul's United Methodist Church for the first in a series of community discussions on race and the key issues that keep us from true community. The program will be held in the Fondren Hall at St. Paul's, located across from the Museum of Fine Arts. Easy free parking is available across Fannin Street from the church. Join us for this first in a series of community dialogues on the key issues that keep us from manifesting the more perfect union written into the birth certificate of this country and referenced so eloquently this past March in the speech by Barack Obama. And while not a political event, that
the free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.